The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show Q&A edition. We're on today's show. We're going to handle, I think, a whole slew of CARES Act questions that have come in. So the recently passed CARES Act, as a response to the coronavirus issues, contains a lot of things that affect people's retirement planning and people of retirement age. So we'd jump a bunch of those questions right to the top of the list here. And Jim's got a whole bunch of them printed out on his end. We're still social distancing, so he's called in remotely from his home. I'm still in the attic, huddled here by myself, protected from the outside world, but very lonely. And we'll have Jim supply the questions, because I actually haven't seen him yet. And in full disclosure, I haven't fully digested the CARES Act myself. I've been so busy trying to crank out plans here. I was going to do that this coming weekend, but thought we wanted to get some of these questions answered for you. So we should be able to do so with the resources that Jim's got and the little bit that I have understood about the act itself. So welcome, Jim. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Chris. You were a little broken up on my end. I don't know if anyone else heard it, but it seems everyone I talk to from this home phone that you set up for me sounds broken up, so it may just be my phone. Anyways, let me know if I sound broken up.
Sounds okay so far, but you have kind of that weird wireless internet at your house, so it's not going to be quite as robust as
That's all I have here in the rural part of Larimer County is some sort of microwave internet. I don't know how it works, but it works. But it is not the most robust and fast system known to mankind.
Yeah, just don't try to heat up your coffee in the microwave while we're on the call. Or it'll
I guess not. But hopefully it'll work. And hopefully this social distancing, don't do anything, ends. But I don't know. Sometimes I think things are getting better. Other times I think they're getting worse. I don't know what's going on. So anyways, I wanted to jump these questions to the top of the list because I think they're more timely and I want to get to them now, not next year where they wouldn't matter. And then we'll get to regular questions again on another show, unless this goes quickly, which I doubt. But if it did, then we'll get to some regular questions today as well. But we do want to talk about the CARES Act, C-A-R-E-S, CARES Act, because as we like to say, the government does care about you. I will say the Department of Acronyms, Chris, deserve a star in their forehead for this.
They got rehired. They were fired apparently before the
Secure Act,
the Mexico Free Trade.
Oh, USMCA, that one.
The USMCA. The U.S. Mexico Canada.
That one wasn't a good one. No,
that's
not
a terrible
at all.
One.
But neither was the recent Secure Act, setting every community up for retirement security. I just thought that one was corny. Yeah. But you are right. The
CARES is pretty good.
The Fair Trade Agreement one was a pretty bad acronym. Yeah. But the Department of Acronyms nailed it on this one. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, which just happens to spell CARES, was recently passed and signed by President Trump, and it not only indebts your children to the tune of $2.2 trillion, which don't get me going on that, but it does throw money at this problem like never before. It always reminds me of that IBM commercial that came out years ago. It had to be my favorite commercial of all time, where IBM's services unit was trying to get businesses to hire them if there was a problem. And do you remember the one that I always reference, Chris? It was set like in medieval times, and you could hear this giant dragon coming down into the castle, and these knights are in the basement of the castle, and the ceiling dust is falling in from all the rocks, and the dragon, that's, you hear the noise in the background of the dragon, and they're all wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to protect everything? And one of the knights takes out a bag of coins and throws them at the other knight and hits them with it. And he says, what'd you do that for? And he says, that's what we're going to do. And he says, you mean we're going to throw money at the problem? I just thought that was funny.
That's one I don't remember, actually, Jim.
You don't remember that one?
I always remember that
commercial.
I'll have to go look it up after the show here. But
yeah, well, if we can find it, if you can find it on YouTube, we'll play it on the next Q&A show. Just hearing the sound of it will make people laugh, the audio of it. But yeah, what are we going to do, throw money? Are you suggesting we throw money at the problem, sir, something? It was pretty funny. But anyways, that's what the government does. They throw money at the problem, folks. And right now, they're throwing a hell of a lot of money out there. And we'll get into it in future shows. We'll get into more of the Secure Act, how some of the elements of the Secure Act
the CARES
work.
Act.
We'll do a say what?
CARES Act.
What do I say?
You said Secure Act.
Oh, God. Man, I hope today goes better than the last Q&A we did. Remember that? That was painful. Lord, I couldn't answer that poor man's question.
Don't make numerical examples up on the fly.
I guess not. I hope he actually listened to that and got his question answered. And I know once that show hits, our ratings are going to go down because people are going to start giving me some one-star reviews on that one for sure. But anyways, hopefully people realize it was just an off day for me. I knew what I was trying to say, Chris. I just couldn't say it. Anyways, okay, back to what's going on today. We ended up getting in a bunch of questions right away on some unique provisions of the CARES Act as it pertains to IRAs and required minimum distributions. And some ingenious people are trying to manipulate the rules and see if they can use these rules to do some really big conversions, some really big Roth conversions, and spread the taxes out over a number of years. So I want to address that aspect of the CARES Act and those questions, and then we'll get into other aspects of it on future shows. Does that sound good, Chris?
Sounds excellent.
Excellent. So what is the part that's getting all the attention with these email questions? Well, there's a provision of the CARES Act, folks, that allows required minimum distributions for 2020, just like they did in 2009. In 2020, they are pausing the rule that you have to take a required minimum distribution. Now, one of the news reports I read on this interviewed, it was either a congressman or a senator, and clearly the guy was a clueless idiot because he said, we don't want to force people to have to sell assets that have dropped in value merely so they can distribute it and pay taxes on it. Do you know where he messed up on that, Chris?
Well, he assumed that's what you had to do was sell it and distribute the cash. You do not have to do that.
Exactly.
You can move the asset, not causing a sale. Hold on to it if that was your intent. Yes, there's a taxable event there. You're going to owe taxes, but guess what? You're paying taxes on a lesser amount, which is actually a little silver lining in the fact that the assets dropped in value. So
he got the ball wrong. You don't have to distribute. And now maybe after us saying this on the podcast, they'll repeal this aspect. I don't know, but I doubt it. You don't have to sell something, folks. This provision of abolishing the RMD does nothing to help retirees whose accounts dropped in value. Because if you need the money, what do you have to do, Chris?
Then you do have to sell it and take it out.
Exactly.
So there's only going to be a benefit of the people who didn't need it and would prefer that it stay in there. But the vast
exactly.
majority of people are taking out more than their RMD.
Right. Now, we talk openly on the show about a lot of our listeners, and you guys are a unique bunch. You are not a broad pot swath of society, rather. You are a very narrow subset of society. Most of you are very successful, probably have amassed seven-figure portfolios, manage it yourself, and don't necessarily need your RMDs. However, even people with seven-figure portfolios, if you have poor tax diversification and you have 90, 95, 98% of your money in always taxable retirement-style accounts, you may still have to take money out of your IRA if you still need it, even if they tell you you don't have to take it out. Well, if you don't have money in maybe taxable or never taxable accounts, that would be a brokerage account or a Roth account, if all your money is in always taxable IRA accounts, even if you have seven figures, and even if they postpone RMDs this year, you may still have to take money out. But not only that, Chris, from a tax planning standpoint, not taking money out of your IRA this year may not be a good thing, because you still have or only have 5 more years of the Trump tax cuts before taxes are scheduled to go higher. And with the government going, they're going to be $3 trillion more in debt at the end of this year, folks. $3 trillion, because we were already scheduled to run a $1 trillion deficit in 2020. Now they just added $2.2 trillion more to the deficit. So we're probably going to run close to a $3 trillion deficit this year. That's nuts.
Well, three isn't a very big number. You know, it's only a little bit.
No, three is small. It's the 12 zeros.
Oh,
after that,
that part. Oh, I got it. Yeah.
You know, I'll digress for 1 second. If you guys want to know how much a trillion is, take out $2 bills. So hopefully people still carry money with them. Take out $2 bills. A dollar bill is about 6.14 inches long or somewhere right around there. I forget the exact length of the dollar bill. But if you hold them end-to-end, lengthwise, hold them end-to-end together, folks, and then just imagine how long that line of dollar bills would stretch to equal $1 trillion. Now, I'll give you a hint, folks. It will be in miles. And then when I used to do this at seminars, Chris, I would ask people to guess how many miles. And then they would all throw out their numbers, and I said, whoever comes closest without going over, such as we used to do in The Price is Right, will be the winner. And I get all sorts of people guessing. And then I would say 93. And people would think, wow, 93 miles. And then I would have to say, no, 93 million miles. That's how far it would stretch. And when people start to realize how much a trillion is, Chris, they get very amazed that the government is spending that much. Well, $2.2 trillion is what's going to be spent. My whole tirade, the whole point of this tirade is just get you to understand that this money needs to be paid back. It's not freebie. So taxes will likely go up. So just because you can't or don't have to take RMDs this year doesn't mean you may not want to take money out of your IRA. You may want to take money out of your IRA and put it in a Roth IRA as a conversion, especially if you have assets in your IRA that have dropped precipitously. If you are one that held sector funds, if you have the sector of travel, leisure, or energy, you're down probably 50, 60, 70% in those sectors. Well, if you believed in them before and you still believe in them now, you may want to move them to a Roth. Use the ability of not having to take an RMD this year to your advantage and fill your lower tax brackets with conversions. What do you think of that, Chris?
I think that's an excellent thing for people to consider. And also remember that normally once you've reached RMD age, this becomes problematic because you are forced to take out the RMD before you do a conversion. So it usually undermines a lot of people's attempts to do what you mentioned, which is convert in very low tax brackets, because they've already maybe taken, they've got their Social Security, maybe some other income coming in, then they take their RMD, and then at that point they're thinking of doing conversions on top of that. Well, because you don't have to take out an RMD before you do the conversion, the conversion starts at a lower amount, so you should be lower tax brackets than you would otherwise have been pushed up into by having to take out the RMD before the conversion.
Perfect. So that is one of the provisions. They are getting rid of RMDs. Use that to your advantage. And a couple of the questions we have that we'll go over, Chris, are about that aspect of the rule. The other thing they're allowing you to do that has garnered a few email questions to us is the corona-related distributions from retirement accounts. Now, this one is unique. And the corona-related distributions is the ability to take out up to $100,000 from your retirement accounts. It can be your employer retirement account or your IRA, to take out up to $100,000 from your accounts, pay the taxes over 3 years, and also treat that, Chris, almost as a mega, if you will, rollover, right? Because they're going to give you 3 years to get the money back in.
If you so choose. You don't have to. You can keep it out. And
if you just, so choose. Yeah. The intent there is take the money out. We're going to consider it. Now, it's not a rollover in the sense, Chris, you have to pay taxes on it this year. Now, you can break the taxes out. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. You can pay the taxes all in 2020 or break them out one-third, one-third, one-third by declaring one-third of it as income in 2020, mm-hmm. 2021, and 2022.
Right.
You can't pick and choose, I want to do zero, zero, and then all of it, or I want to do 10% this year, 10%, and then 80%. It's either all taxable in 2020 or a third, a third, a third.
Kind of like what they did back in 2010 and 2011 with when they got rid of the limits on Roth conversions. They let you do a conversion and then recognize the taxes, actually none in the year of the conversion, and then half each in the next 2 years. So they kind of, I guess, stole a little bit of that idea from the last one of these kinds of bills that went through.
Now, I wish instead what they would have done is let that money sit in limbo and just say the tax bill is due in 3 years if you don't put it back into an IRA.
It would be a lot cleaner for people.
It would be cleaner because you have to start declaring this as income, folks. And what if you don't get the money to put back in? Not that if you took out $100,000, people are going to have that much again in free cash flow. But let's just play along and pretend they did, Chris. But what if it doesn't happen until year three? Or worse, you get $30,000 extra in year one, $30,000 in year two, and $40,000 extra in year three to put back in. Mm-hmm. You have to file amended returns, and that's what's going to screw things up. Let's go back to my first example, and not so much the second example, because that wouldn't apply to what I'm trying to say. But let's just say in year three, you took out $100,000, but in year three, Chris, you've got $50,000 extra bucks, and you want to put that back into the IRA. You have to go back and file an amended return because some of that income is now not taxable to you. Because you have to pay taxes on the full $100,000 coming out, whether you do it all in 2020 or break it up over the three-year period. So in my example, you would still have $30,000 that you have to declare as income that year, but $20,000 from the previous year isn't taxable to you anymore because you're going to put $50,000 in. So now you have to file an amended return for that year, and that's going to add to complexity and cost. Now, if you do your own taxes, maybe you can do your own amended return. But if not, now you have to hire someone to do an amended return, and that does add cost and complexity. It would have been so much easier for them to just say, you kind of have this money out, folks, and it's in limbo for 3 years. And you've got 3 years to figure it out, or you pay taxes on it in 3 years. I kind of like that idea better, but that's not the way they did it.
Yeah. They should have consulted us before they passed the final version. They should have consulted us before they passed the final version, but
well,
I
didn't
get that call.
No, they called, but I was on the other end, and I don't want to take it. But anyways, that's the one thing. Do keep in mind, folks, anything rolled over, you may have to file an amended return to adjust for that because you had paid taxes on it. Now you're going to have to roll it. Now, I don't know yet, because people have been asking me this, can you put it into a Roth IRA? Right. And that's some of the email questions we've been getting, and I keep getting conflicted info. So I'll add more on that in a second when I start reading some of these email questions. But I suspect there will be guidance from the IRS on this, on if you can put it in to a Roth, or does it have to go into the same style accounts? And if it goes into a Roth, could you, this is one of the thoughts, could you take out the $100,000 and then someone asked us in an email, well, I'll wait till we get the email question, Chris. So what are the rules for taking the money out, though, folks? What is a coronavirus-related distribution? What are the rules? Well, before you guys, all you do-it-yourselfers, think I'm going to run out and just take $100,000 out and spread the taxes out over 3 years, you have to qualify for it. Now, the qualifications are fairly broad. And from everything that I've been reading and following, the IRS will probably be very liberal in their interpretation of this because that's what Congress wanted. However, you do have to either been diagnosed with COVID-19, so you don't really want that option to take it out. Your spouse has to have been diagnosed with COVID-19 or a dependent. Or you had to have experienced an adverse financial consequence because you were quarantined or laid off or furloughed or had your hours reduced. So if none of that applies to you, you didn't catch it, your spouse didn't catch it, you didn't have your hours reduced, you might have had to work from home, big deal there, that's not a reason in and of itself, but your hours weren't reduced, so far you don't qualify. Now, if you could not find child care in this whole virus issue, and as a result, you had to stay home and missed work, then that is a reason to qualify for taking out up to $100,000. If you own a business and that business closed, or you had to reduce your hours, you could qualify. And then here's the humdigger of them all, Chris. Any other reason that the IRS later deems is okay. So even Congress knew when they were writing this, there's going to be other impacts that people have had, and the IRS is going to be allowed to say yay or nay. So if you don't fall into any of these very specific reasons, and you have another reason, I think Congress is saying, still do it, and the IRS can decide if they like it or not. That's kind of how I interpret it. Any other reason that the IRS decides is okay, that's pretty broad, is it not?
That's pretty broad, and I could have sworn that I read somewhere that you're going to self-certify the reason.
Well, that part is true. You self-certify to your custodian that you qualify, so the custodian, I would assume they're going to have the custodian record this on your 1099 with a special code or something, and that's why the IRS put that in there. You self-certify people. You don't have to prove ahead of time to the custodian or to the IRS. You don't have to go to the IRS and say, hey, would you accept this reason or would you accept that reason? In other words, you just say, I qualify. And then it's going to be up to the IRS, Chris, honestly, to question it.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of excess resources recently. So my guess is there's not going to be a lot of real stickler rules applied to this if you have some kind of reasonable situation that you can justify, even if you get questioned at all on it, even if you get a letter audit on something like this.
Exactly.
Almost everyone's been affected to some degree.
Exactly. And that's my interpretation of it, that if you can have some reasonably good reason, you're allowed to self-certify. You're allowed to tell your custodian this is a corona-related withdrawal recorded as such. And it's going to be up to the IRS to audit you. So few tax returns are ever audited. And again, Congress gave the IRS permission to say, hey, yeah, we never thought of that. That's a good reason. We'll let you take it out for that. So I think the ability to get the money out, spread the taxes, and the other thing I didn't mention, if you're under the age of 59 and a half, no 10% penalty on this. That's $10,000 right there in 10% penalty. And then the ability to spread the money out over 3 years, this could be a very good strategy for those of you who have a lot of your money in IRAs and are going to be faced with excess required minimum distributions. In other words, RMDs that are going to be above what any projection you're making indicates you would need, and you're in a situation where you're looking to reduce your required minimum distributions, if you can qualify, I'm not saying to make up a reason, but if you can truly qualify, you have been impacted. And one of the things is, Chris, in nothing I read does it say the amount you can take out is proportionately tied to the amount of your financial impact?
No, I haven't read that either. So it's not like you have to prove that you had $100,000 of impact.
Right.
Which seems strange to me, but I haven't seen that either. But again, I haven't read every word of the act itself. I've just been kind of monitoring what some other industry pros have been commenting about.
Correct. And that's all we can do because this thing was just signed last week. And a lot of the interpretation isn't out there, but nothing I have seen so far, folks, has indicated that this act says you have to be able to prove you also suffered a financial loss at the level you're looking to take out. I don't see that anywhere. So if you can qualify for any of the reasons, again, that I listed, you had COVID, your spouse or dependents got diagnosed with COVID, you suffered adverse financial consequences because you were quarantined, furloughed, laid off, or had your hours reduced, you couldn't work because you had to provide care to your children who were told not to go to school and you couldn't find daycare for them, you own a business that has lost hours or money, or any other reason the IRS decides is okay. That is You can fly a jet plane through that loophole. But the point is, you don't have to ask for permission first. You self-certify. Now, follow my logic here, Chris. I'm thinking you could take $100,000 out. You could then spread the taxes out over 3 years and just put it into a brokerage account. Get it out of always taxable and get it into maybe taxable, especially if you have 90, 95, 98% in always taxable accounts. This could be an opportunity, if you qualify, to get some money out. Now, Chris and I don't know if what we're saying today is truly how this, I think it was, what, a 1,400-page bill? This monstrosity is actually worded, but right now, today, whatever day this is that we're recording this, what is it, March 31st, yeah, this is our understanding. And if it does work that way, that could be a compelling strategy for people who have way too much money in always taxable accounts and are looking to get some of that money out.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. If that's, I would think that's worst case scenario. The only question is if we can really do what many people are asking, which is ultimately create a conversion into a Roth with some kind of benefit of spreading the taxes out over 3 years. Lots of people are thinking of that, and I haven't gotten, I've gotten a lot of opinions that I've seen, but I haven't seen anything that was kind of official interpretation from the IRS or anyone else I would trust to actually be spouting official policy. So,
And I agree there, and that is, in fact, one of our email questions. So let me get that question, and let's address it, and I'll share with you my thoughts and thoughts that I have seen. Of course, I don't have that email right here in front of me, but I think it was the last one that came in. Okay, so this particular question came in. This is a two-part question. I'll skip his first part. We'll get to that in a second. His second part is, my wife is 51 and has a TSP, that stands for Thrift Savings Plan, folks, for those who don't know. That's the account that I was trying to explain on the last Q&A show and got me all tongue-tied. But my wife is 51 and has a Thrift Savings Plan with a large tax-deferred balance. As you know, the TSP does not allow in-plan Roth conversions. Could the aforementioned provision, and what he's talking about is what we were just talking about, the COVID-related distribution, enable her to withdraw $100,000 from her TSP penalty-free? Remember, folks, it's penalty-free. She's under 59 and a half. She's 51. Recontribute the money to an IRA, and then do a Roth conversion. In conjunction with that strategy, could I spread the tax out over 3 years to take its greatest tax advantage? Yes and no. Now, I have heard, I haven't read this directly in the law, Chris, but this exact question, not this listener's question, but a question like this was proposed on some of the forums I follow. Mm-hmm. And someone posted that if the money goes into, if you take it out this year and it goes right back into a Roth as a conversion, it's all taxable to you in 2020, and you cannot spread it out over 3 years. That would make sense to me to be in the rule, or Congress and the IRS knew people would start doing this as a way of getting $100,000 into a Roth. So in other words, people really don't need the money, Chris. They might have been furloughed, but they don't need the money, and they're looking to do a Roth conversion and spread it out over 3 years.
Right. That's the big advantage to that technique if it was allowed. But were they saying that there's specific wording in the act that prevents this?
That's what one person claimed.
That's what I've been looking for.
Okay. This was just in a form. He did not. Again, folks, a lot of this is so new. Chris and I haven't been able to do our own research. I haven't even had a chance yet to talk to Ed Slott about it, which I'm sure they're doing the research for us. But this particular person on the form said, if the money goes into a Roth IRA, in other words, you're taking it out and you're trying to do a conversion, if it goes into a Roth IRA, it will be taxable in the year of distribution. And I'm wondering, in this particular listener's question, he's saying, look, I just want to take it out. Now that I have it, I have 3 years to put it back in. I want to put it back into an IRA right away, because now his wife's money is in an IRA and he can start doing conversions. And then he wants to He said he wanted to put it into an IRA and then convert it all into a Roth IRA. So I'm wondering if the rule says, Chris, if the money goes back to an IRA, can you still spread the tax out? Because I see where this listener's going. What if he
didn't? He's trying to take advantage of timing issues.
Exactly.
Now,
what if he took it out and didn't put it into the Roth, which, again, according to the Forum Post writer today, he claimed that there's a provision that if it goes into a Roth, it's taxable as a conversion all at once. That would make sense to me, but again, we have no proof, folks, that that is how the law is written. If the law isn't written that way, I would assume the news stories would be hitting real soon how to do a massive conversion and spread the taxes out over 3 years. So I doubt that that provision wouldn't be in there. But what if you do what this listener says? You took the money out. You got 3 years to put it back in an IRA. You put it into your IRA. And because it goes into an IRA, though, Chris, let's try to think this through. That would be just a regular rollover, and there would be no taxes to pay at all.
Right. Since you put it back in the same year, I don't think you'd have any taxes to then spread out over the 3 years, and I think that undoes it, unless there's a glitch in the way it's written, the CARES Act is written, and that's what we're trying to confirm. So we're kind of either hoping for a glitch or hoping that there isn't a more straightforward way, which is unlike the question here where the person wanted to roll it first into a traditional IRA and then convert it, but instead take it out and then immediately roll it over into the Roth. Could we spread out the taxes on that over 3 years? The forum post said no. I'm waiting for someone to point to specific wording that prevents this, or at least the IRS coming out with guidance that says
but
you can or can't do
post-
this.
The forum post said if they put it into a Roth IRA, what this listener is wondering, what if I take it out, put it into an IRA?
Right, but there's no tax there, and since you did it in the same year, you're not going to report a taxable event.
True, and then if he converted that IRA to a Roth,
then it's
good
a regular
point.
Conversion.
It's a regular conversion, and he'd have to pay taxes on the whole $100,000.
Right.
So, listener, your strategy wouldn't work. Taking your wife's $100,000, assuming you even qualify for a coronavirus-related distribution, let's just assume you did qualify. Taking your wife's $100,000 from her TSP that does not allow a conversion. So that's one reason to get out of the TSP. It doesn't allow the conversion. Taking that $100,000, your thought, listener, of putting it into an IRA and then converting it to a Roth IRA and hoping you could spread the taxes out, taking it out, and remember, you've got 3 years. The rollover period for this distribution is now 3 years, not 60 days. So you took that money out, you put it into the IRA all this year, so no taxes are owed at all. You got it in. You took it out, you didn't need it all of a sudden, and you put it right back in. But then when you go to do the conversion, now it's all taxable to you.
Right.
No, that's a very good point, Chris. So I don't think what the listener is proposing would work, but I am curious how they are going to treat people who took the money out, and then let's just say they took $100,000 out, but they only needed $10,000. Now they've got $90,000. If they put that $90,000 into a Roth, mm-hmm. according to the form writer, that $90,000 would all be taxable this year and could not be spread out. That makes sense to me to have that provision in, because their intent isn't to allow people to do a conversion and spread out the taxes over 3 years. But Chris and I, folks, have no proof of that, no definitive proof yet.
And just because it seems to make sense does not mean that that's the rule. So that's what we're hanging our hats on, leaving the possibility out there that you absolutely could do that because the bill was poorly written or this was left out and they left a gaping hole open for people who want to do these conversions and spread out the taxes over 3 years. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that turns out to be allowable, but for now, we don't know yet. But as soon as we have confidence in the answer to that, we will certainly let everybody know, because that's a hot topic.
Correct. So my gut tells me that the same rule would apply. Well, no, I'm not going to go there because I think what I was ready to say wouldn't have made any sense to anyone but me. And I don't want to go there again like last week. But I give this guy kudos for thinking of this, saying, hey, can we do this? Could I take this money out, put it in back, right back into the IRA? Now, I do wonder if you did this, if you took $100,000 out and then immediately put it into an IRA, Chris, or not immediately, but well, even if he did it immediately, let's walk this listener through this, Chris. Oh, I see where he might be going with this. I'm going to have to assume, Chris, his wife is still working for the federal government. Because if she was retired, there's nothing stopping her from taking money out of her TSP.
Right. He mentioned that she can't do in-service conversions, so she must still be working.
Okay, so what he's trying to do under this provision is get $100,000 out in service. His wife is still working, mm-hmm. and she just can't take her money out of the TSP. So he's saying, let's use this as an in-service distribution. Get that $100,000 out. He's essentially admitting, we don't really need it, but I hope he does qualify for the coronavirus-related distribution. But he does qualify, let's pretend. He's saying, let's take this money out, let's put it into an IRA, and then spread out the conversions. Because he writes, in conjunction with that strategy, how could the ability to spread the tax out over 3 years be used to its greatest advantage? You wouldn't be able to use that, listener. You took the money out and put it right back into an IRA. There is no taxes owed. By doing the conversions over 3 years, you could spread the taxes out over 3 years. You could do the conversions over 5 years and spread the taxes on the conversion out over 5 years. Does it make sense what I'm trying to explain to him there, Chris?
Mm-hmm. That's what we said a minute ago. Yeah.
Oh, we did? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we said it because I said it again. All right. He asked an earlier question on that. One of the main things, let me see, what has he said? One of the many things I have learned from your podcast is that for a person subject to required minimum distributions, the first dollars out of an IRA are the required minimum distributions. That is true, listener. This is the same guy who emailed us the wife question with the TSP. He had two questions. So that is correct for all you listeners. When you are subject to required minimum distributions, the first dollars out of your retirement account are the required minimum distributions. And required minimum distribution, Chris, can never be what?
Converted.
Converted. Exactly. Nor rolled over. You cannot roll over, right. Nor convert.
Correct.
And the reason you can't convert is all conversions are considered what, Chris?
Rollovers.
A rollover. And rollovers, you cannot roll over an RMD. You cannot take an RMD and then put it back into an IRA or a Roth IRA. You can't do it. So he writes, one of the many things I have learned from you, from your podcast, is that for a person subject to required minimum distributions, the first dollar's out of an IRA is the RMD. So my 80-year-old mother would normally need to do her RMD before she could do a conversion. Mm-hmm. But one of the corona bills recently passed, he's talking about the CARES Act, folks, will relax and or waive required minimum distributions for 2020. Well, they actually waived it. They didn't relax it. There are no RMDs for 2020. So now, what if my mother wants to do a conversion in 2020? Will she still be required to take her RMD first? No.
No, this is an easy one. Good news is no. That one we do have clarity on. RMDs are waived, even in inherited IRAs, which people have RMDs that start at any age when they've inherited an IRA from a non-spouse. Those even are waived, which a lot of time people thought, oh, no, they wouldn't exempt those, but they have. RMDs are waived for 2020, period, as far as I know. I don't think there's a single exception.
There are no RMDs, just like 2009, so there are no RMDs. In fact, for anyone out there subject to the five-year rule before the Secure Act passed this year, mm-hmm. and this is going to be a real narrow subset, this is here where we're geeking out. Prior to the passage of the Secure Act under the old stretch rules, if an IRA owner died before reaching his or her required beginning date, which at the time was April 1st of the year following the year they turned 70 and a half, if somebody died before that time period and did not have any beneficiary named or had named their estate as beneficiary, or if someone was going to inherit no one was named and it got left to the state, Chris, and the estate said that this beneficiary would get the account, if that person applied for a private letter ruling, they would be allowed and they would have been allowed to have kept that IRA as a beneficiary IRA, but they would have been subject to what was called the five-year rule. They would have to have closed the IRA within 5 years. Most people, it never was left to a human. It was left to their estate. We see that all the time every now and then, Chris. I leave my IRA to my estate because a lot of estate planning attorneys tell people to do that for some bizarre reason. And if that were to happen and the person died before April 1st, the year following the year they turned 70 and a half, the estate had just 5 years and then they had to close the IRA. So the estate could liquidate some of the IRA a little at a time over 5 years or close it all at once. The point is they now have 6 years. If someone had died from 2015 and later, you now have an extra year. So if this was one of your 5 years, this year doesn't even count, right, and it starts counting next year. So you get an extra year.
Yep.
Just one of those bizarre, weird things. But anyways, listener, back to your question. Your mom does not, like Chris said, have to take her RMD because there are no RMDs. So for all of you listeners out there now, here is an opportunity, is it not? If you don't need all your RMD, you don't have to take it. But don't let your lower Trump tax cut brackets go to waste. You can now do much bigger conversions than you ever thought possible, Chris, because you now don't have to take the big RMD. So you can fill the lower brackets with conversions. You're still going to take money out of your IRA, but you're putting it into a Roth IRA as a conversion. So don't let that go to waste. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Exactly. Consistent with what we recommended here a few minutes ago before we started getting to questions, but in anticipation of this, that missing out on a year of RMD opens the door to possibly filling lower tax brackets or just tax brackets as they exist now under the Trump tax cuts until 2026, you've got an opportunity here. And if you, again, if you have to, if you need the money to live on, you're going to be taken out anyway. So the waiving of the RMD is not helpful for you. So this is really only helpful for people that were taking RMDs because they had to, but they really didn't need it for current living expenses.
Precisely. Okay, so with that in mind, we got this email from a Wisconsinite. We'll, of course, call him George, even though he gave his real name. He says, "Hi, Jim and Chris. The newly signed CARES Act includes a provision for tax-favored coronavirus distributions from an IRA. Do you know if this new law will allow me to convert $100,000 from my traditional IRA to my Roth IRA with absolutely no income tax liability?" Wouldn't that be sweet if he was right on that one?
That'd
huh,
be
Chris?
Sweet. That would be in a monster loophole, which unfortunately doesn't exist.
And then he writes, "If this is so, you need to tell your podcast listeners because they need to hear about this incredible one-time opportunity to do a Roth conversion without having to pay any tax on what would normally be treated as ordinary income. I don't know what this guy is. I don't know what he was thinking, or maybe it was late at night when he heard this, but the law has no provision that the $100,000 comes out tax-free. It comes out penalty-free if you are under the age of 59 and a half. And it was never the intent of Congress to allow people to take up to $100,000 from an IRA, put it into a Roth IRA 100% tax-free. That was never their intent. In fact, their intent isn't for you to take this money out at all and do anything with it except use it to cover expenses because you're being impacted by the coronavirus. That's their intent, but because they rushed this law through, there is going to be a lot of people going through this law with a fine-tooth comb over the next few weeks, folks. Chris and I will keep up to date on it and share it with you. And there may be some ways in here to do some unique planning, but certainly not the type of planning this gentleman was hoping, where he can just do a $100,000 conversion and pay no taxes.
Yeah, there are some interesting tax-free implications in other parts of the bill. Doesn't have to do with these IRA situations we're talking about now, so we're not going to go in depth into them. But there are some small business loans that if that there's a provision they might ultimately be forgiven in part or in whole if you qualify, and that normally a forgiven debt gets reported as income for you and you have to pay taxes on it. In this particular case, they have made that event. If the loan gets forgiven, it turns into a tax-free grant, essentially, and there's no taxes. So there are some weird no-tax situations in the bill, but not regarding taking money out of your IRA or your retirement account. The only benefit is the possibility of stretching the taxes over a three-year period and also avoiding a penalty, an early withdrawal penalty. So there's a few things that you can benefit from, but not a blatant, just an overall, I can get money out completely tax-free. That's not happening.
Exactly. Which leads us to our last question. It's a lengthy one, but it's a very good one, so I want to walk clients through that. Hello, Jim and Chris. And he is a, where is he from? It's a two-page email, so I got to go second page. North Carolina. All right, that's where my friend just moved to. Say what?
That's where Greg is, too.
Oh, yeah, that is right. I'm knocking at the window at a wild cat that wants to go eat my birds. Hold on a second. Let me, I got to save the life of my birds.
You have birds?
Go on. Okay.
Now, you're not going to hear that on a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Jim had to go outside and protect his birds from a
neighborhood
cat.
I am home. I am feeding birds. I've always fed birds. And there was a gray cat. He's still there, the little son of a gun. He's just eyeing my birds. He must be one of the, what do they call him, a feral or something like that?
A feral cat.
A feral?
Or it could just be your neighbor's cat. I had a cat that would eat anything. But
I'll keep my eye on him. Yeah. I may have to go outside again and shoo him away.
Get the water hose out.
But he was doing, you know, that cat crawl?
Oh, yeah.
He was doing that cat crawl across my grass towards where my bird feeder is, which was surrounded by blackbirds, red-winged blackbirds. So he was hoping to chow down on a bird. Okay, anyways, back to this question from a North Carolinian. Hello, Jim and Chris. I'm a long-time listener to the podcast and really have learned a lot from your discussions. In addition to helping me, they've also helped my parents with their finances. In light of the stimulus bill that was just passed, and he's talking about the CARES Act, I'm hoping you can help me with a couple of questions regarding my father's 2020 required minimum distribution from his traditional 401k. He took his RMD on February 14th, 2020. That's Valentine's Day, is it not?
It was.
It was. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. I think I have a good handle on this situation, but I would like to get some confirmation. My father is 90. His traditional IRA is with Vanguard. They're all Vanguardians who listen to our show, Chris. His traditional IRA is with Vanguard. And from what I am reading, he is able to roll that 401k RMD, which he already took, because it is now no longer considered an RMD. So he can put it into his traditional IRA as long as he does so within 60 days. I think he is okay doing this, but I just want to make sure based on a couple of issues. So let me stop there, folks, and explain to you what he's wondering. He's wondering if a person took an RMD and it's no longer an RMD, because RMDs since January 1st have been abolished for all of 2020. So since it's no longer an RMD, Chris, he took what? A normal?
He took a normal distribution at this point before he did
normal,
anything.
Right. And normal distributions are allowed to be, folks, rolled over.
Yep.
An RMD, which is a, excuse me, yes, an RMD can never be rolled over, but a normal distribution can be. So he's right on track. So far, he is 100% correct. His father's RMD that he took on Valentine's Day, February 14th, is now considered a normal distribution, not a required minimum distribution.
Yep.
So he can roll it over under the 60-day rule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to reach out to this person directly because his father, who's 90, only has another 2 weeks. But he's wondering, he asks, can he roll it over? His question is, the RMD that my father already took from 2020 from his 401k no longer considered an RMD? Yes, you are correct. It's no longer considered an RMD. Is he able to roll this into his traditional IRA at Vanguard within 60 days? My thoughts are yes, but it would have to be in an IRA by April 13th, 2020 to reach the 60-day limit. He had tax withheld from his RMD, and he understands he will also need to make the tax amount up to make the entire event non-taxable. Yes, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with this. So your father has a couple more weeks to get the money that he took out plus the taxes into an IRA. Now, he already has an IRA, you said, at Vanguard. One thing with rollovers, folks, it doesn't have to go into the same account. Came out of his 401k. It can go into an IRA. It doesn't have to go back to the 401k. He has 60 days to get it done. 60 days to get it put in. I would even argue, Chris, you might be able to Well, no, I don't want to go down that road because people might try it. But I'm wondering, with all this coronavirus thing, what if your custodian was on reduced hours? You could probably self-certify, I missed the rollover because my custodian was closed and not processing paperwork quickly. I'm thinking that might work, but right now that's not a question, so I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but it is intriguing. Yeah. I bet you some people will claim that.
And there's actually two things, I think, in addition to consider here for this person. Here they've done it within the 60 days, so they're not having to worry about taking advantage of extra leniency that's out there. But RMDs that were taken early in the year, maybe you took it the 2nd of January or something, you're beyond the 60 days. If you want to put it back so that you haven't taken an RMD, you are still allowed to do that, even though it's past the 60 days. But you'd have to put it back. My understanding is you have to put it back in the account it came out of in order to not have run awry of the, not have to worry about the 60-day rule.
Now, I will add that I have heard that as well, but I have not seen that from anyone. Let me just say that I deeply respect and would trust their writings. I've heard it more in generalities. In fact, Jeff Levine and Michael Kitsis say that if the 60 days was missed, you took it out in January right away, your next option, because Jamie Hopkins, you've heard of him, right, Chris?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jamie Hopkins, for those who don't know, is another person in our industry. Is he a professor too?
Yeah, he's an academic. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an academic. I forget what university he works for, but he's well-respected in the industry.
He might have moved.
He's the one who came up with this pointer that the even though the law was signed into effect March, whatever it was, the coronavirus-related distributions begin January 1st. So his point of contention for that very thing you described, and I heard in some writings that I just don't trust yet, that yes, there is a provision in here that you're going to be allowed to replace RMDs you already took if you don't need it. I don't know if that's true because I haven't seen it. But Hopkins said, if a client has taken an RMD already and doesn't have the 60 days, it's past the 60 days, if they otherwise qualify for a coronavirus-related distribution, which, as we already said, is you can fly a 747 through the last reason, any reason the IRS deems is okay. If you can prove and self-certify you qualify, you now have 3 years to get that money back into an IRA, not 60 days.
Right.
So that ability to repay it, Chris, that some people are writing about, it might be based on that and not necessarily a provision in the law that says any RMDs that were already taken can go back in.
Yeah, it's just kind of a side effect. The net effect of it, not a side effect, but the actual effect of the rule of having that 3 days to put it back in. As long as you put it back in this year, you'll have no taxable event, and you are allowed to because it's within the 3 year period. And since it wasn't considered an RMD in the first place, all you are doing is taking a distribution and putting it back. The only issue, there might be a glitch if you're relying on to that, is if you took it out and you can't, if they audit you and you can't prove you had a coronavirus-related expense or need, that's what gives you the 3 years. Without that, then you're going to rely on their mercy of you being able to put it back in beyond the 60-day period. I suspect it'll be fine, but the stuff I read from Jeff, I'll mention it, says you mentioned his name as well, but Jeff Levine, he's using verbiage that doesn't qualify the ability to put it back. He's not saying within a period of time or anything. He's just saying you can put it back. And he's careful enough that if there was a restriction on it, he would generally attach that to the statement. So that's why I'm pretty confident we're giving out good information on being able to put it back, even if you didn't qualify for the three-year situation with coronavirus-related expenses.
Okay. I'm not sure on that one, but if Jeff Levine says it can be done, then I would go with it because I do respect Jeff immensely. He was in the EdSlot program with me. The man is very, very smart. And if he is saying that you can take it out, even if you don't qualify for the coronavirus-related distribution, you can still put it back?
His statement is, required minimum distributions are waived in 2020, and taxpayers who have already taken their RMDs for 2020 have the option of returning them if they so desire, period. There's no additional wording after that. So if there was a restriction, if it said they can put it back as long as they do it within 60 days, I'm 90% sure or higher that he would have said that instead of just leaving the period at the end of what I read.
Let me look for another thing. What date did Jeff write that?
It's right in the Kitsis document.
Because he wrote here, but what about beneficiaries who took RMDs already? And he's referencing early before the 60 days. He doesn't have 60 days to put it back in. Mm-hmm. Is there any relief for them? Unfortunately, the answer is no. A beneficiary is not able to... Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. I was reading about beneficiaries. Let me go back up. I got to get to that in a second. Where is the one where... Okay. Notably, while most benefits in the CARES Act are only available for actions occurring after the president declared the national emergency... The coronavirus-related distribution provisions can apply to any distributions as early as January 1st. Tip the hat to Jamie Hopkins for thinking this one up. And then he goes on to say, for retirement account owners who took their RMDs very early in the year and for whom the 60-day rollover window has closed, there is another potential approach for them. If it can be shown that the individual has been impacted by COVID-19 to qualify for the very liberal distribution guidelines outlined in the coronavirus-related distribution rules, then the rollover can still be completed at any time during the next 3 years.
Right.
So he's still saying they need to qualify for the coronavirus distribution, right, that you just can't put it back in. You have to qualify.
Yeah, there's another spot, though, he doesn't say that. That's why there's still a little bit of concern there with what you read. So
the point is, listeners, Chris and I are a little unsure here. If, and to that emailer's question, by the way, about his dad, wondering if his dad can do that, Our answer to you is yes, your dad is okay because your dad's within the 60 days. The point of discussion Chris and I are doing right now, and this highlights the incomplete information that we're getting, is if you are outside of that 60-day window and you already took your RMD, can you just put it back in? I'm not convinced you can. Chris feels you might be able to. Neither one of us is saying we're right or wrong. Yeah. That'll be
clarified in the not-too-distant future because people will be asking the IRS about this.
Yes, this will be clarified. This is so soon after the passage of this bill, the IRS will need to add clarity on this. But here we have one individual who we both respect a lot, Jeffrey Levine, writing two different reports, one that kind of indicates you can put it back, and another one that says only if you qualify for the corona distribution to begin with, would you be allowed to put an RMD back if you are past the 60-day rollover window. So we're saying here on our podcast, we're just not sure yet.
Yeah, we're not sure, although most people are going to be able to justify having a coronavirus-related issue that would give them the three-year period. There will be a small set of people that both did an RMD early in the year and had no effect of the coronavirus situation, so they can't claim the special exception. That's where there's the little bit of gray area here. But I think we'll get clarity on that in the not too distant future. And my money is on they'll allow it, but it is possible that they'll call that out and those individuals are going to be out of luck and they're going to have to leave that out as a distribution.
And you're going to have to be very careful before you throw that money back in, folks, because if you are not allowed to put that money back in, now you get an excess contribution, and you're going to be subject to the 6% excess contribution penalty, and it just starts to get ugly. So be very careful if you took your RMD, you are outside of this 60-day window, and you're thinking, oh, I can put this RMD back in, no problem. I would be very careful about that right now because Chris and I are not 100% sure. I lean more towards Jeff's article that says, nope, you have to qualify for a COVID-19 distribution reason. Chris kind of likes Jeff's article that doesn't imply that. We don't know which one is right. And I can try reaching out to Jeff, actually, and seeing which one he thinks is right. But it could take another couple of weeks to get true clarity on this from the IRS, even, of what they're going to allow and not allow. All right, let me finish the last two questions from this gentleman, and then we'll wrap up today's show.
Yep.
He then asks, can his father do this? And our answer is yes. For the father, there's no doubt in our minds. Correct, Chris? There's no doubt in your mind either. He's within the 60 days.
Yeah, since he's within the 60, he's good.
Yep. Okay. Then he asks, my father is planning to transfer the remainder of his 401k to his IRA later this year. He plans to do that via a trustee-to-trustee transfer. Will there be any problem in doing this second transfer this year? That's actually your first transfer.
Right.
Your first.
The other one was a rollover.
Rollover, exactly. The first thing your dad did was a rollover. This is your first transfer. And the good thing about trustee-to-trustee transfers, you can do as many as you want.
Right. There's no limit.
There is absolutely no limit whatsoever.
So he's fine there, too. So far, we have good news for him.
Absolutely. And your father could even do a rollover again, even though he already did one this year. Why?
Because it's
going from a 401k to an IRA does not count against the one per year rollover rule.
Right.
Only a rollover from an IRA to an IRA counts, or a Roth IRA to a Roth IRA. But a 401k to an IRA, or an IRA to a 401k, or an IRA to a Roth IRA does not count. You can do as many of those as you want in a year.
Yep.
So he's safe from both counts. Then he says, if you have time, how about a bonus question? So we'll give him the bonus question, Chris. Unrelated to my father, I have an inherited IRA from my brother that was established in 2016. I take my RMDs from it every year. I have not taken my 2020 RMD. I understand that the 2020 RMD is waived for my inherited account as well. Is this true? Yes.
Yes.
It is true. Now, listeners, if you have an inherited IRA like this listener does, and you took your RMD, and now all of a sudden the RMD isn't an RMD anymore, so you took a distribution, and you are within the 60-day window, do not put it back into an IRA.
No.
Do not put it into your inherited IRA. Do not put it anywhere but in your bank account or brokerage account, because a beneficiary of an IRA can never, ever do a rollover.
Right.
You can never, ever do a rollover. So do not put that into your IRA.
So had this person taken his RMD last week, for instance,
he
can't undo
it.
He's got to leave it out. It doesn't. It's just going to be considered a distribution, but you cannot roll it over because it was an inherited IRA.
Exactly. You cannot put it back in. That's why I don't feel what you feel they're going to allow you to do, replace a taken RMD. I don't think that's going to be allowed. They'd have to change the entire tax code where it's not even considered a rollover anymore. It's just, oh, I took money out, I'm going to put it back in. I don't see that happening. The law doesn't allow it. They have to operate within the law. The IRS can't just say, oh, you took it out, don't worry, put it back in. That's why I think what Jamie Hopkins was saying, that the way around that is a Corona distribution is effective January 1st, not from the date the disaster was declared, which would allow you, if you qualify for the Corona-related distribution, to get that money back in within 3 years. But if not, you got to have had to have taken your RMD within the last 60 days, and you can only get it in under that. That's my, but as Chris and I said,
certainly possible. Yes.
We just don't know, and we're getting conflicting info from sources. And as soon as we get more definitive, it would be great if the IRS just comes out and answers this. But until we can get some definitive answers, we're a little unsure, and I would be careful. But if you have an inherited IRA, you can never do a rollover with an inherited IRA. If you took that RMD, it's done. You got it. It's yours. Nothing you can do about it.
Yep. All right, just out of clarity, Jamie Hopkins was actually American College.
Ah, okay.
Not Texas Tech, like I said. So another big name in the retirement planning space as far as academics go.
Both of yes, those. Yes.
Oh, one thing I do need to do right before we leave here. Somebody called me out a couple weeks ago. I misspoke on a previous show. Several shows ago, we were doing a Social Security question, and not to revisit the whole question, but we were talking about the calculation of their PIA. And I talked about the third tier above that second bend point of only get 10% of the money over that, of your AMI over the second bend point. And in reality, the person who contacted me is absolutely right. It's 15. I was having a bad day, clearly, because that's a well-known number. The first bend point is 90%. Between the first and second bend point, you get a 32% replacement of your AMI in your PIA, and then anything over that second bend point is at 15%, not 10, which apparently I said on a previous show. So I promised the person, for since he called me out, that I would publicly admit it and clarify it on the show, and I had forgotten to do it the last couple shows. So here it is. Here's my mea culpa.
Your mea culpa, that's right. No problem.
Okay.
I remember that question. I remember the listener correcting you too, but I remember that question. It was wasn't it a younger kid who was contemplating?
No, it was just somebody that was wondering about the impacts of additional earnings above a certain level and trying to weigh a couple choices. I don't remember the exact person. It might have been a young person, but it was all about they were putting a little too much stock in how much their Social Security benefit would increase due to higher wages or additionally recognized wages, and trying to get their AMI up. But their AMI was already pretty high, so I was just essentially reminding them that as they increase their AMI, they're only getting a 10% replacement on that additional bump instead of the reality, which is 15. But the point is it's much lower than if their average indexed monthly earnings or AMI was lower below that second bend point. They were, in my opinion, they were putting too much weight in the importance of trying to boost their AMI up through additional work compared to the other choice they were making. And I don't remember what that other choice was, but that was the story. So.
Well, hopefully listeners found this interesting. This CARES Act is going to cause a lot of good before it causes probably a lot of bad in the future when this money has to be paid back. But right now it should be helping people. And as always, when government rushes through something like they did in a matter of days, they pass a massive stimulus bill, there's going to be a lot of loopholes and opportunities. I like people are already looking for them. We will continue to track all this. As we get clarity on a few of these things, we'll share them with you. We'll talk a little bit more on the EDU show about this bill and some other provisions in it that may not have to do specifically with retirement, but they are some provisions that people might be able to benefit from. So we'll talk a little bit about those as well.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for calling in again, and go chase that cat away from your birds.
He ended up crossing the driveway and went the other way away from my bird feeders, but I kept my eye on him. And I think he could see me leering at him through the window. But, yeah, he was doing that cat crawl, which is kind of cute, but at the same time, I didn't want him to eat one of my birds. All right, well, I will chat with everyone next week. Okay. But it was a pleasure, and Chris, stay safe, and we will keep in touch as well.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Everybody else, if you have any questions you'd like to send in for our Q&A show, just go to our website, jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. On there, there's a contact form. You can send us the question that way. That's probably the most efficient. And we'll do our best to get answers out to you as soon as possible. We're going to tend to put a little more emphasis on CARES Act questions. We handled a number of them today, but if you have an additional one, if you send it in shortly, we'll probably turn it around pretty quickly because we're watching for those because this is such a timely event. So thanks, everybody, and we'll be back with you next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.